It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. It is once again time for us to spend about 15 minutes and enjoy what we love the most, and that's the outdoors. We're going to just talk about the outdoors today. Our guest is Mr. Robert Blackstock. Now, Robert is with a company called B3 Films. The website is bigbuckandbass.com. Robert is an expert with video cameras. His company puts together videos for outdoor projects. Robert, thank you very much for spending some time with us, sir.
Well, thank you, Luke. We're glad to be here today.
Yes, sir. I think what will help our listeners most is today, you know, just about anyone with the desire and not a whole lot of money can film their own outdoor experiences, whether it be fishing or granted, filming hunting scenarios, I know this from past experiences, is a bit more challenging, but it's well within the reach of just about anyone, isn't it?
Yes, it is. More so now than it's ever been before.
And not too far back, it was not, the equipment was not available. Just a few years ago, some of the stuff we had to work with, cameras, et cetera, were not near as, I hate to use the word foolproof, but what we've got today, even a guy like me I'm pretty good with a steel camera for, you know, through the years I've took gazillions of pictures for magazines and newspapers and stuff like that, but videoing is just a whole different ball game. Is there any basic equipment, Robert, that you would advise the novice video guy or girl to start with?
Yes, Luke, there is. You know, the cameras that you said that we have nowadays, I mean, they have the abilities to not shake near as much as what they used to, and when you have the movement in the pans, they do such a great job. They're all high definition, and whether you're using the cameras on your phones or if you're a handheld camera, the quality of cameras that they have out there nowadays, as well as the battery life that's in these cameras, it's just helped tremendously. There's three items that we try to encourage people to get, and that's to get a good camera that has a good pan on it, and then a tripod that camera will mount on, and then they can use that in a ground blind or in a box blind. It just steadies up the footage so much. And then also a camera arm so that camera can smoothly move around and catch the target, whether it be a squirrel walking around on the wood floor or a deer or turkey, whatever it might be. And then they can pan that, and they can move the camera up to them. They can talk to the camera and just create memories. That's what we're doing. We're creating memories out in the woods that we can remember and watch and enjoy for the rest of our lives.
It's something we haven't touched on that I haven't asked you about, but the editing process. There's programs now, some very basic programs that I've even done with, just very amateurishly, but, I mean, editing is not as hard as it used to be. It's pretty
That's
simple
true.
With some of these programs, isn't it?
That is true. There's a number of different softwares out there for self-editing that works very well on your home computers, especially if you've got a computer that's got a lot of gig memory to it.
Mm-hmm.
They do a good job where that you can interject and splice in different pictures and the voices, and it just does a great job, and you can do that at home with just a little bit of help and technology. It just comes across, and then I'll tell you what, once you get it, the next thing you know, your next family get together, you're going to be showing it, and the word's going to get around.
You're going to be the star.
That's right. You'll be the head of the party.
Well, Robert, there's one thing that whether it's photography, whether it would be with a steel camera or with a video camera, you know, so there's some basics such as keep someone's just fighting a fish or whatever in the water, if you can get that sun at your back on the subject, just like if it were a steel picture and you're trying to get them in a good frame, that's the way to go, isn't it? Watch the sun.
You want to try to get that sun at your back so it doesn't glare on that camera, and keep it focused on your subject, whether it is the fish or the deer, the whatever. But that way you won't have the glare on that camera. You want to be careful and not pan up too close. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing that a lot of people do, is trying to pan up too close, and then the animal runs, and then he's out of picture or whatever it might be. So just don't tuck it in there too tight where you can keep them in center frame. Just watch your shadows. But that'll pretty well take care of itself if you'll keep that sun at your back. But you want to capture nature at its best, and the experience that you had out there in the woods.
Well, Robert, I have seen several of the videos that the company that you work with, the B3 Films, I've seen several of those. One that I can remember is a predator coyote hunt. And to me, that would be one of the most challenging deals, because, you know, you've got to be concealed. If that coyote picks up some motion, I mean, whether it's a camera or whatever, I know what he's going to do. He's going to bamboos. But yeah, but you guys, I've done some filming amateurishly, but I've got thrown in some situations a couple of times with a video camera where somebody was hoping old Luke could get it right, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I've made some fumbles. I'll tell you and our listeners a funny story, Robert. About 24 years ago, a company needed a journalist to go with them to Japan. The duties were to, of course, I was covering it for a magazine. It was some new lures they were taking over, and that's when the Japanese were, they were a lot of money being spent on bass fishing particularly. Well, they had worked up a bass tournament between a guy named Saramachi and a fellow from the United States that was a professional fisherman at that time. Well, old Luke is over there. I know all about the old film Pentax 1000 camera that I was shooting still shots with. So when I get over there, we go to downtown Tokyo to a big camera store, as big as a Sears store. It was huge. And they wanted me to pick out a camera, a video camera. They wanted me to film Saramachi and our Texas probe on this bass trip. Well, old Luke was a little uptight, but luckily I got a fellow that could speak English, and they wanted the best. And it seemed like it was called some type of an 8mm. I think it was called Super 8. It was about 25 years ago. But anyway, I proved that, you know, even back then, if you pay attention and kind of do your due diligence, you can get by with it. And thanks to some really good editing, that worked out. But today, it would be so much easier with the equipment, wouldn't it?
That's true. The cameras that they have nowadays that, like I said, will take a lot of the vibration and the blur when you pan the camera around out. It's very forgiving, I promise you. I don't care if you're using a $10,000 camera or using the one that you bought at your local store. You need something that will hide some of your oopses, because we all have those, I promise.
Robert, aren't some of the more expensive cameras, I don't know how high you have to get in price, but don't some of them have an anti-vibrate deal built in, like a pendulum or something that takes some of the shake out?
Yes, they do. It has that built in, and it helps considerably, especially when you're doing a stalk or a walk up to a retrieve an animal that's been shot or whatever. And it takes a lot of that vibration out of it. It helps tremendously.
You walk me through a little basic scenario. Let's say that I want to film a daytime hog hunt, which can be, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen in the daytime, but let's just say a hog hunt during daylight hours. When you're putting that video together, and this can be for home use, but you want to make it an interesting little storyline, how would you go about in your mind doing the filming? It could be pretty basic, I think, and still tell the story of the hunt, right?
Well, one thing that people have to remember is that when we film these different hunts and these episodes, they're not done in order.
Right.
Because a lot of times, you know, the animal may come in right at breaking daylight and you make the shot. And you cannot turn to the camera and do some comments to the camera when it's still pitch black. So just remember, with the editing software that's out there, just leave the camera still, take some pans of your area, and then if you have an animal that comes in when there's enough light to film, then you can edit in some verbiage later on after you've made the shot. You don't want to mess up and spend all your time getting the shot set up and looking at the camera and talking to the camera and then spook the animal off and not get the shot. That's your first and main priority, is to get that animal on film as he comes in and presents a shot, and then you make the shot, and then you follow him as he runs off. And then we can come back in and we do all the edit in, all the verbiage and you know, the excitement of it, and you know, then it can be put into sequence when the people watch it. But get that shot on film. No matter how big he is, if that camera can't get it on, we can't make the shot.
Well, I have tried in the past doing little amateurish videoing for myself and sometimes for some other people, trying to make the show as you go. That don't work.
That's right.
You can't. It's kind of like writing a story before you've been there.
Right.
You know, you've got to, in your mind, you think, okay, I want to have a little intro, and that could, with editing, you could do that, a little intro,
that's
who we
good.
Are, what we're about to do. And then I used to make the mistake sometimes, cut it off there, and then that camera, the next time it comes back on, by golly, it's when that animal shows. Well, sure, you know, something will go haywire when you try
to do that.
It doesn't work very
good.
Now,
we do try our best after we've made the hunt and made the shot and the recovery, that we do the add-ins and the editing shots in there as soon as we can, so we have the same lighting, the same cloud cover,
mm-hmm.
everything, so it looks like it was done right there at that time.
Makes sense, and that's some things that'll help a lot of our listeners that want to do some filming. Yeah, you would want to film a goose hunt for instance on a real heavy overcast day, and then dub in a bluebird day. You know, sequence. It wouldn't look.
Pick up on that real quick.
Yeah, they say, wait a minute, these guys did this later. Yeah, a lot of that is common sense, but it also would be very easy to make a mistake. And I know probably all of us have seen some video like that. You know.
Yeah, that's true. We see that, but we try to limit it as much as you can, because sometimes when you'll see some of the hunters go out there and they'll make the shot, but they'll come and then when they try to retrieve it, they can't find the animal. You
right.
know, all of us have been in that situation where the blood trail ran out, mm-hmm. and they looked and looked and looked, and they ran out of daylight. But then they come back and tell, okay, here's our animal. We went back the next morning and recovered it, but so that the people know that this didn't just happen in that sequence.
Exactly. Well, it's a challenging endeavor, but it's not nearly as challenging as it used to be. And I guess we should keep in mind, if we're doing it just for fun and for our families and friends look at, it doesn't really have to be as polished as you guys there at B3 Films do, right?
That's true. I mean, you know, the average guy's not out there filming this to go on one of the outdoor channels or sportsman channel or whatever. I mean, this is something for you to remember and to share with your family and your kids of your experiences in the woods.
You bet. Well, Robert, thank you very much for being with us. And, you know, I know it's helped a lot of people, your tips. And down the road, we'll get you back, and we'll talk some more videoing. How about it?
We'd be glad to, Luke. Thank you so much.
Folks, that wraps up our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Robert was an excellent guest and gave some very good tips on filming our outdoor adventures. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. That website is biggame.org. Made possible also by Hoffpower Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. HPolaris.com. Made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. That's Sniper, HAWG Lights.com. And also made possible by Hot Can. The website is HOT-CAN.com. Make sure and tune in next week. Do remember, right here at KETR.org, these shows are archived for a long, long time.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.